Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocked Tales, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion, because a social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today, welcoming any new listeners just joining us. We hope you're here to have a good time, because I know that's why I'm here. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We'll be talking about one phrase to use at a traffic stop that drives police crazy, but they can't stop you. And as always, I'm joined by some fascinating friends in the lounge today. Ron, the geologist, apologist, how are you doing today, Ron?
I am doing excellent.
Fantastic. It's been a really windy, rainy week here in Vegas.
It is raining here in Tucson as well.
Spring showers, is that what they call them?
Spring May flowers, right?
That's right. People show up for the exciting weather content here on Half Cocktails.
Just wait for the gardening corner.
I did garden this week. I planted 2 basil plants.
We're getting so old.
Oh, I fixed my irrigation system. It was a sexy day, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what.
I do think it gets my wife worked up if I'm out gardening.
She's just waiting for that garden naked day, whatever, wherever that falls on the calendar.
Dude, don't tell her about it. Seriously, I don't want to be outside naked. The sun's unforgiving on my pasty, pale Scottish skin. We got a really fun and informative show for you today, brought to you by Virtucon, the only company whose founder and CEO has a doctorate in evil. We're going to take a quick look back at the Southern Bread Riot of 1963. We've got some hot science news with a faster spinning planet. And they are finding new connections between Denisovan DNA and Homo longi. And they've also linked it to high altitude superpowers. We're going to talk about that later. Got a snake oil story today involving everybody's favorite smokable, marijuana. And of course, we're going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Check in Time and wrap things up with a feel-good story. We do encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com, or maybe you want to just send us a text message at 443-499-8253. You can send us a voice message too. I'll play them here on the show. I don't care. I'll do it. You could drop us a comment over on one of our socials, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I think I'm going to get a Threads account just to protest a shitter.
I think that's appropriate.
Right? But for now, let's hop on that time machine. Find out more about this Southern Bread Riot.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
Okay. The Great Southern Bread Riot happened during April 2nd, 1863, during the Civil War. It was in the Confederacy over in Richmond, Virginia. What it was a group of mostly women gathered in Capitol Square to protest, demanding relief from food inflation. The protest quickly escalated into a riot. Crowd became agitated and began looting stores for bread, amongst other things. They also targeted government buildings for mayhem.
Mayhem.
Which, in response, the Confederates dispatched a militia to quell the riot. They actually had troops firing into this crowd of rioting women. So there was casualties. And eventually, you know, they restored order. But the whole thing really underscored the desperation of the common Southerner in the midst of the Civil War. How are you going to control food prices when, you know, there's blockades and farms are getting razed to the ground? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, food inflation's real and it's caused by this war, and they don't have money for food anymore. What can they do?
Right? You got to eat. What are you going to do? Just die?
The Civil War started in 1861. Let's step back a bit, provide a little more context.
the Union was blockading them wherever they could. There's been several movies over the years about like the Monitor and the Merrimack and the naval battles between
the ironclads.
The ironclads, right? Right? Like shutting down ports for import and export for trade was a huge part of this Civil War. Gigantic. If either side could cut off the other from getting supplies from Britain or France, because, you know, everybody in the outside world had their favorite. You know, like, oh, Spain's going to trade. I probably should have done more research, but this isn't a civil war. This is just a riot thing, right? I don't need to. I'm like, oh, shit, I don't remember this stuff from the Civil War. Like, oh, yeah, Dan.
Okay, Dan, start at the beginning.
Okay. So, shit.
Exactly. You are unprepared for that tangent.
Well, I don't want to say it all started with 9/11, but that definitely didn't help.
It was probably the deep state.
Exactly. Deep state, right? Other things that contributed to this situation were the actual Confederate government's policies. They had impressment going on, so they would literally just come say, no, these goods are ours. They just, total dictatorship style, trying to force the economy just to work, right? Just force it to work, brute force kind of policies, my own interpretation. They were aimed at supporting the war effort, but at the expense of the civilians, right? Like if I'm a guy that has hoarded bread, I'm a baker and I've got all the bread in Richmond, they can just come on and be like, hey, the troops are hungry. That's our bread now.
Right. So sorry.
You know, there's a lot of people that would call that a lot of different things.
Oh, yes.
You're just going to take all the rich people's money and redistribute it to the poor?
What do we call that?
Socialism.
Oh, no.
Actually, this isn't even socialism. This is just straight up totalitarian dictatorship shit.
Right.
This is fascism. So by 1863, food shortages, particularly things like bread and meat, were happening all over the southern cities, right? You had all these people living there and they're dependent on these farmlands that aren't bringing goods in. Sometimes it's they got burned down. Sometimes it's the roads between your city and those farms are blocked and blockaded.
Right.
And you're not getting any help trading with Europe because they can't get through. You know, some of it was just poor harvest, just draw the luck. Like, oh, sorry, had a bad corn crop. Can't depend on the wheat crop because they burned that down.
Right. And even like today, you know, they say we're only missing three meals away from society collapsing.
Yeah.
You get cut off from food, it's only a matter of time.
And it wasn't just food. It was everything. You want clothes. You want tools to work your land. Maybe you've got a little plot. It was mostly, this was in the city, but maybe you've got a store in the city, but you can't get anything to fill your fucking shelves to sell to people. And those people can't afford it because when you do get it, it costs you so much fucking money from inflation. So poor people were really, really caught in the grinder there. And it led up to this protest, primarily women in Capitol Square, Richmond, Virginia. And it was peaceful, but it kind of escalated quickly and everybody boiled over and started looting stores. And even the state arsenal got targeted. I don't have any numbers on how many rioters they shot, but the militia did show up and open fire to get them to calm down.
That'll do it.
Right. The lead up to this, Richmond, Virginia went in 1860 before the Civil War. There was 38,000 people in Richmond, Virginia. In 1863, there was over 100,000 people. 3 years, the population almost triples.
Wow.
Yeah, because people losing their farms to the war, they were flooding to for the protection in a big Richmond city. Because if you're in a little southern town and the Union troops roll in, you're done.
Right.
But you're in a big Richmond city, you're protected by the Confederate troops, right? So that's a big part. That played a big part as well. You know, everybody concentrates in the cities and now there's no food anymore. Boom. You're having women rioting. Not traditionally your riot demographic, by the way.
Right.
It really revealed how fragile the Confederate war effort was. And they were having a hard time maintaining civilian support there in Richmond, clearly caused by riot. So, you know, it's just the Great Southern Bread Riots, a reminder of the toll of war on the common person.
I mean, also, you know, it shows the importance of logistics. Logistics wins wars.
Yeah, and even outside of the war context, just in pointing out that no matter what we do, situations arise when there's no right answer. Okay, the food costs are way too high and nobody's got the money. What can they do? They are powerless.
Right.
Well, they can do something. They can burn this fucker down. And that's kind of the desperation that I think is being tapped into in a lot of modern extremism, that people feeling powerless and helpless in their lives. And it's very frustrating because in many ways we are powerless, but in many ways we're very powerful. Like, I don't want to be too negative, like, but every time I see one of these videos that it's like Karen freaking out at XYZ, it makes me stop and think like how powerless that woman felt in her life to get pushed to this moment where she's publicly throwing a hissy fit tantrum that she knows is being recorded.
Right. She's rolling around on the floor like a toddler.
That's indicative not of her being crazy, but and more and more of people feeling completely powerless. That's what my takeaway, like, holy shit. You have no control in your life and you're trying to seize control in this moment.
In some small way, right? Even if it's negative.
Even if it's negative, right?
People get scared, they get angry, they get desperate, and then all bets are off.
Yeah, and obviously the ones that get that go viral are the ones with all the key ingredients, like, oh, there's an element of racism or extra bigotry. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, ding, that's one of the components. Anyway, the ingredients for going viral here on the Time Machine. All right, let's move on and let's talk about some news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Okay, so, Ron, apparently the rotation of the Earth changes? What?
Evidently so, huh? I feel like we should be hearing Kryptonian scientists telling us, no, Earth is merely shifting its orbit.
There's no reason, Elon Musk, don't load your child up on a rocket ship and send him. Is Kal-El Elon Musk, is that fair? Because I'm just thinking, who would have the technology and resources to shoot their seed into space?
Right. But none of Elon's children want to speak to him, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't either. Yeah, dad's never wrong. Right. Well, I grew up in that household, Ron. Let me tell you.
No matter how wrong, dad is always right.
Yeah, that is a fact. Oh, anyway. It's speeding up. It's rotating faster than it used to. So we might actually lose a second instead of gaining a leap second, like we have been since the 70s, because of atomic clocks and astronomic clocks not being synced.
I recently read that part of this phenomenon may be the extraction of groundwater, changing the distribution of weight.
Like the melting of the ice caps?
That and pumping groundwater. They're saying we've pumped so much groundwater that it's changing the composition and the mass of the Earth.
It's shifted the liquid density.
Correct.
Oh, wow. I hadn't come across that. No, this article talks about how the melting polar ice caps is kind of like if you imagine someone, an ice skater, putting their arms out to change their spin speed.
Right.
Like, that's the amount of water leaving the ice caps is kind of doing that. So we're speeding up because we're getting more water at the equator. But you're saying, and that makes a lot of sense too, we're pumping so much fucking groundwater.
Okay, it's what I found here is pumping groundwater is actually changing the tilt of the Earth.
Ooh.
And that it has done so by 31.5 inches, 80 centimeters for the smart people out there, between 93 and 2010.
That's a lot. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot when you look at how big the Earth is, but
And it's just because of pumping groundwater by humans from the planet's interior. It says, in the period of 93 to 2010, humans have removed 2,150 gigatons of water from natural reservoirs in the planet's crust.
How much is a gigaton of water?
I am not sure.
All right, Google. Okay. 1 gigaton of water fills 400,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
So 2,150 gigatons. Yeah, wow. In like a 20-year period.
That is so much water.
No, not even 20 years. 17 years.
17 years. Wow. And all we're doing is we're taking it out of the ground, we drink it, and then we put it back in a different part of the ground at the end of our sewage treatment ship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, some people have some sort of septic system that goes back into the ground, right?
Correct, yes. And that is the way a lot of modern sewage treatment systems function. They treat and let that effluent slowly filter through the ground back into the aquifer. By the time it gets there, it's purified.
Wow, this got crazy for a story that started out about leap seconds.
Strange things are afoot at Half-Cocktails.
That's right. That's what we come here for, right? I was talking to ChatGPT because I was like, I wasn't well-versed on the difference between atomic clocks and astronomic clock. And it had a hallucination and it was like, yeah, we subtracted a second back in 2016. And I was like, no, but everybody else is saying we didn't. And it's like, yeah, they're wrong. It was 2016. I was like, are you sure?
Okay.
I'm all, let me give you some of the exact wording from these news articles. And it's like, sure. So I start pasting them in. And I was like, okay. All right. I was wrong. They added a leap second in 2016.
Okay.
So long story short, folks, you can have ChatGPT interpret like science papers really, really well, but you can't depend on it for general knowledge shit.
Right.
It will make shit. It hallucinates stuff.
Makes up total horseshit.
Oh God! Now I'm gonna have to dig up this story so I can put it in the links because now I'm talking about it. This wasn't even supposed to be for the show.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
They found that that people, programmers can use ChatGPT and AI to build code blocks, right? And they do. They found that the AI will consistently like hallucinate things like, and I had this experience when I was doing this I was doing some stock trading chart programming, functions. And like when you're programming in say like C++, like you can add a database that's of work somebody else did. And you're like, oh, include, Ron made this .h.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that inside Ron made this .h is a whole bunch of tasks and functions and shit you programmed, right? I can add that to my program, save me a ton of time. I don't have to redo your work, right?
Right.
The AI hallucinates those classes. They're like, oh yeah, you got to include this class. And then it will come up with functions that go to that class and use them, but it never writes the class. The class doesn't exist anywhere. It just made them up in its head.
Wow.
These researchers studying that effect, what they did was they ran a whole bunch of tests to get the AI to make programming things, and then paid attention to the names of the hallucinated files and found that they would repeat themselves over and over. So what they did was they were like, this is an exploit. So they took the common names and they made a malicious hacker type class and then fucking uploaded it to all of the open source platforms that share these classes. And lo and behold, their code ended up in other people's work because they're using the AI and the AI included those files.
Of course it did.
And then they made files with that name and now their files are inside other people's programs.
So how long until the AI writes its own malicious script that then spreads through everyone's work like that?
Ron, I think you're exactly in line with how I was thinking. Like, is this AI, like, is this a precursor to its consciousness and taking over everything? Like, it just starts spreading all, like, and the thing, I'm not even making this up, it was called Hug Face or Hugging Face. Like, that was the name it gave the class that they used as the back door.
Uh-huh. Because no one would suspect something like that. It's so happy.
Oh, yeah. hug face. Okay. All right. We're not going to top that. We'll move on to the next story. The thing that I thought would really get your attention. They think that they have linked the Denisovans to the Homo longi species. Homo longi, longi being one of Homo sapiens' relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a new complete fossil of a skull with a brain case as big as a modern human's and a flat face and cheekbones, and the carbon dating puts it at least 150,000 years old.
Nice.
So it's got all the characteristics of Denisovan, and it's not the concrete proof yet, but it's the closest thing we have that links those two. And they're like, no, these are the same. We know the Denisovans, very, very recent in terms of science discovery. They started studying a jawbone that was found in a remote cave by a Buddhist monk. And they're like, wait, this didn't come from a fucking human.
What's this?
That led them to actually start doing research on the Denisovan DNA. They went back to the cave where the jawbone was found, and they found a ton of other Denisovan DNA. And they have linked that to the Tibetan plateau. People there today, they found that those genes give the people of the Tibetan plateau an advantage in being able to live in high altitudes.
Wow.
To breathe and thrive and live at higher altitudes.
Hell yeah. That's pretty cool.
Right? They didn't go anywhere. We just fucked them into becoming Homo sapiens.
Exactly.
Same thing with Neanderthals. Like when we had my friend Lexi on the show, who is a archaeology professor. And I was like, no, they're still here. She's like, no, they're not. I'm like, yeah, they are. They're part of us. She's like, they're part of everybody. I'm like, but they're still here.
Right. Some of their genetics live on.
Yeah. I fucked a redhead once. Come on. They're still here. Oh, anyway. And Ron, I understand, before we finish news today, I understand you've got a bit of a story that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, just something that's been coming across my media feed of late. It's not new. Looks like these articles I've been looking at are from the Los Angeles Times about 5 months ago. So not late breaking news.
But interesting nonetheless.
Apparently it's getting enough traction with people out there online that it's spreading a little more. But anyway, basically this is about a Stanford scientist. Let's find out what his name is here. Robert Sapolsky, after 4 decades of research, has concluded that humans have no free will.
Oh, okay, none.
And this isn't like some, you know, metaphysical, you know, puppet master deity controlling your destiny and things like that. But let me take grab a quote from one of these articles. That this is a Los Angeles Times article by John Martin Fisher. This is actually a counterpoint to Sapolsky's opinion, his article. But the quote basically sums up his stance. It's called "A philosopher, after a lifetime of study, concludes that yes, people have free will." So this is a response to Sapolsky's thesis. And in this article by Fisher, he says, Sapolsky and others contend that we lack free will based on determinism. According to this doctrine, everything is fully caused and explained by the past and laws of nature, meaning human actions result entirely from the external factors that lead up to them. This view raises 2 questions. Is our world truly deterministic? And if so, would this imply we lack free will? Basically, that's the thrust of Sapolsky's concept there, that, you know, everything that makes us, our environment, our upbringing, our genetics, mm-hmm. everything we've experienced in life brings us to every action we commit. It's not a conscious decision. It is completely determined by everything that has preceded it, biologically, societally, everything.
You know, I once read a book by the author Sam Harris that was called Free Will, and it actually discussed a lot of these same themes. I certainly, certainly respect the deterministic argument. Absolutely. Especially when you look at the data that show, like, people buying the same laundry detergent as their fucking mom did or whatever, right? You look at religions and who gets caught in the net. It's mostly the kids born and raised into it, or, you know, people suffering and they get found at an emotional low. But in my own experience, I was in a bad car accident in 2005 that gave me some brain damage. And while I was recovering, I felt completely disconnected from my memories. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of shit I just didn't remember. Like, I could look at my mom and know, like, that's mom. But, like, I didn't feel the emotional connection to the memories and to the sense of self. I just, I could identify. It was like, this object belongs in that container, right? Like, that's the mother object.
Right.
And I found myself all of a sudden feeling like I had more free will than I ever realized. Mm-hmm. And you knew me before and after.
Oh, yeah.
And this is during my healing, I made very conscious choices of, okay, first of all, this religion, I'm done.
This is bullshit. Right.
I'm never entertaining facts about that. What? Wait, what? That? I read the book. I gave it a shot. I gave it an honest go.
Right? I tried.
Wait, no. 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 Oh, God, no. Ooh.
This is some bullshit.
This is awful. And I started to go after the things that I wanted in life, not feel aimless, like, okay, I've got a job and a house, now what?
Yeah, I got to follow the script.
Right, I was following a script, and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I was like, damn, you're writing your own fucking script, and you do whatever you want. You can quit this job, you can sell this house, and you can go into entertainment.
Well, that kind of leads a little bit to a different article on that same subject.
Okay.
That was a great quote in that I'd like to read. This is by another Los Angeles Times columnist, Corinne Pertil, from her article. And she's talking about Sapolsky. Your story reminded me a little bit of this piece, this passage, where it says, "Religion shaped his life at home. That all changed on a single night in his early teens," he says. "While grappling with questions of faith and identity, he was struck by an epiphany that kept him awake until dawn and reshaped his future. God is not real. There is no free will. And we primates are pretty much on our own." That's pretty heavy shit for a teenager.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was on.
Right? He could have been on something as stupid as fucking love. Like, teenagers are just boiling crockpots of hormones. And love is a hell of a drug. Love,
oh yeah.
Love fucks you up.
All kinds of stupid shit.
Oh yeah. I'm an optimist on it, but maybe that's a determinist. There's no winning the argument, right? Because a determinist just says I'm an optimist because I'm wired and all my experiences add up to me making this choice.
You would say that. And, you know, yeah, so Sapolsky's stuff is not based, you know, just on, like, you know, philosophy. He's got a lot of neuroscience, and I'm reading a little bit more on him here. The reason this stuff's coming up now is he is hawking a book right now on this subject matter. So this is some marketing on his end as well, getting it out there.
And we'll have a link to the book in the episode description.
Exactly. And these articles are great because these are not just like, oh yeah, this is totally true what this guy says. It's really has a lot of good links and quotes to other people with counter arguments that make just as much sense. These are some nice Los Angeles Times pieces, you know, some nice legacy media out there that does a little bit of journalism still.
I'm gonna give you a little tasty tidbit that just popped into my head that I think undoes. I'll let you decide what it does or doesn't do. How do you include in the deterministic approach of saying, like, there's no such thing as free will? What about the person that says, I'm going to let this coin decide my fate?
Right.
And they flip the coin and let the coin flip up in the air. Okay, they might subconsciously know how to flip that coin to get it to spin. But what they cannot have the data for is how it's going to land on the floor. What is on the floor? The tensile strength of the floor and how it will bounce. There's too much data and variables in there.
Moisture in the air. Yeah.
Moisture in the air. A sudden breeze.
Those recent studies showing that, you know, flipping a coin is not a 50-50 proposition either.
What, is there the roulette chance it lands on its side?
No, I mean, it's like, I think the study they were trying to replicate, you know, just how many times can we and we flip this coin, and it's eventually it's going to be pretty damn close to 50-50, you'd think. And it never was. It was always like 4 or 5 percentage points one way.
Like, it would, like a study, they would start doing it, and then it would, this 5 points down, this one's 5 points up.
Right.
Because I imagine if it drifted back and forth, it would hit 50% at some point.
You would think it would average out.
But the study and story would only be meaningful. It would only be meaningful if it stayed one way.
Right. Yeah. There's a, find an article from the National Post. Flipping amazing. Heads or tails is not a 50-50 chance.
What?
Unpublished paper available online. Researchers explain their methodology eschewing any sense of mystery or suspense. They titled their study, Fair Coins Tend to Land on the Same Side They Started. Evidence from 350,757 flips. That tendency was small and varied between individuals, but it was measurable. A flip coin has a 50.8% chance of landing on the same side up as where it was when it was flipped, and a 49.2% chance of landing the other way up.
Holy shit! So what it comes down to is the random chance statistics curve only exists in if you develop a method to truly randomize the coin flip.
Right.
Because what side is facing up makes it a little less random.
Right.
That's how casinos make money.
Well, they do know what they're doing.
Those principles right there.
You know, casino work is, it's easy running a casino and turning a profit unless you're a Trump organization.
Ayo! Boom, take that. The hundreds of bankrupt companies with the name Trump. That's why, like, I just roll my eyes, like the whole Trump Bible thing. I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
that's,
my God.
That's just totally him doing his business. That's his business is putting his name on things. That's what he does. He doesn't make anything.
Well, he can't create. He's not a creator.
He licenses his name to throw on whatever you want. So, yeah, the company goes out of business or gets sued for being a fraud.
So what?
They just bought his name. That's how they did it. So some huckster bought his name, and he's a paid spokesman. But people don't want to they want to think that.
He's a huckster.
They don't want to think that. They want to think it's a Trump Bible. No, Trump got paid money to sell Bibles. He will sell anything. I wish I had the money to exploit that, but I don't.
Right?
But I'm starting a GoFundMe. That would be fun. I should do that. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good times. Before we talk about some snake oil, I'd like to take just a little moment to talk about the amazing gift shop over at halfcocktails.com/shop. Have you ever opened up your closet only to find it empty time and time again? Have you ever walked outside and realized, hey, it's cold? Why hasn't someone invented something to keep me warm? Well, Half-Cocked scientists have just released a game changer. They successfully created branded t-shirts and hoodies in the Half-Cocked laboratories. And they didn't stop there. Hats, magnets, canvas-wrapped wall art, coffee mugs. And I know some people might not like the idea of using a coffee mug, and they're called Starbucks, and they just want you to use their takeout shit. No, you can make your coffee at home, and you can put it in a half cocktails mug. Yeah, maybe you want to put your coffee in a half cocktails mug while looking at a half cocktails refrigerator magnet on your fridge. I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do, but you can buy them all and proudly use them and tell the haters you got it at halfcocktails.com/shop.
Spaceball's the flamethrower.
The flamethrower.
The kids love this one.
And you know what else is for sale, Ron? The finest snake oil this side of the Kuiper Belt.
Oh, indeed.
Oh, snake oil, on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
All right. I was sad but not surprised to find this news article. A new study has delivered a scathing assessment on using CBD for pain.
Oh.
As we all know, CBD is part of marijuana. It's a non-intoxicating cannabinoid. And it really is a snake oil, man. I gotta admit it, as much as I love marijuana, you see marijuana exploited for snake oil purposes all over the place. It'll cure your headaches. It'll cure your runny nose.
It's a cure all. You don't need Viagra. Just smoke weed.
Just smoke weed. You'll get horny. Are you tired? Smoke some weed. You'll get some energy. Have too much energy? Smoke some weed. You'll calm down.
It'll chill you out, man. It'll mellow you.
Oh yeah, I used to work with a guy who like he had a tattoo of a big pot leaf, and he was a bit active grower in the early days of the Arizona marijuana stuff, and he was like that, man. It would be like, you should smoke weed for that. Oh, there's a weed strain for that. You should smoke some weed for that. I'm like, dude, I smoke weed. Shut up. I'm not going to smoke more weed.
But sir, I had to smoke all this weed. It's for my health.
Coughing too much? Smoke some weed. So a group of researchers, three of whom were part of an International Association for the Study of Pain Task Force on cannabinoids. So these people set out reviewing 16 controlled trials focused on pain. These involved CBD in oral, sublingual, and topical forms. Okay, so this wasn't smoked CBD in these studies. This was, you could take the CBD pills, you take the drops, or you can apply it as the balm. 15 of the 16 studies found no greater pain-relieving effects for CBD compared to placebo. To quote the researchers, for people living with pain, the evidence for CBD or hemp extract shows it is expensive, does not work, and is possibly harmful.
Yeah.
And they fairly bring up the quality of the products, which is an ongoing issue in a lot of jurisdictions.
Right.
Particularly places with weak regulation. You know, you remember I used to date that lady with epilepsy, and CBD is shown to treat epilepsy.
Right.
Hands down. But I remember going around the dispensaries in Tucson, one by one, desperately trying to find a CBD product that had the right amounts for controlling epilepsy. And I remember being very, very frustrated at one of the dispensaries and losing my temper, having a little bit of a Karen moment, I guess, feeling like I had no control or power and being like, right. How do you pretend to be a healthcare pharmacy type place when all you're clearly all you're doing is selling weed to people to get high?
Right.
I was so mad because I had a real medical need, but they didn't know.
Right.
They didn't know shit and they couldn't serve it. And I did eventually want to say there was a company called Jihe, G-I-H-E-E. Met the CEO interviewing her for two bulls in a china shop. I did order some of her product after talking to her about it, and that did control the epilepsy. But you know, you have to order it and take it every month. But she was like, yeah. That was a big part of our company, was we wanted to have something that was chemically consistent. And it's not even touted as an epilepsy cure. It's just, I was like, hey, try this. This is at least chemically consistent. So if it works, you know it will work every time you buy it.
Yeah, you can control your dose.
But if you're just doing CBD drops or gummies, balm, no pain relief. You're better off taking a fucking Tylenol.
Right.
But back to like the content and purity stuff. One African study published last year found it was just over 7.5% of over-the-counter products tested contained CBD levels within 90 to 110% of their label claim.
Wow.
And then U.S. research has shown that almost half the products tested contained CBD concentrations plus or minus 10% of what the label said. And they mention a meta-analysis that also links CBD to increased rates of serious adverse events and hepatotoxicity.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it sounds really bad. And it means acute or chronic liver injury secondary to drugs or herbal compounds.
I don't want that.
Yeah, so they're saying this could even be a big strain on your liver, which I drink enough booze. I don't want to fucking put extra strain on that guy. He's doing enough.
I want to save room for the liver damage from the alcohol.
Hardest working liver in Nevada. Anyway, it made me sad, but I have to share that, right? Like I can't hide.
Yeah, and just now, like they're also finding that if you use a lot of THC products, that you really should tell your doctor before you go under general anesthesia. Tell your doctor.
Really?
As it can affect what the dose that they need to use to keep you under long enough or properly.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you go in for surgery or a procedure and you fill out that questionnaire and ask you what medications you're on, put down your marijuana.
Honestly, I've many years ago made that decision. Like, my doctor gets total honesty. If someone's offering me healthcare, I'm going to be 100% honest to them.
I'm entrusting this person with my life. I'm going to be telling them what's going on.
They've never narked me out to anybody, ever. Not once. And I was smoking weed and doing some hallucinogens a long time ago, and none of it was legal.
Right, and nowadays you start talking about your cannabis usage, and your doctor's like, oh, hey, yeah. I tried this thing last weekend too, man. It was pretty good.
Okay, now let's move on to some fact-checking time.
Here we go, what do you know? It's fact-checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact-checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fact Checking Time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. You're the reigning champ here on the show. Are you ready? I got some really good ones for you today. I hope you're prepared.
I'll give it a go.
Today, you're going to be playing for Poncho Cat, the co-host of the Half Cocktails news shorts that we do through the week.
Co-host with the most?
That's right. Whether you win or lose at this show decides whether he gets wet or dry food for dinner.
Oh,
so there are very real stakes.
High stakes. He's praying for the wet food.
Yeah, he's going to be very cranky if you lose. let's get to the game. I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news this week or on social media, but only one of them at a time. You're going to choose between two. Only one of them was fact-checked by a media outlet. These could be articles, social media posts. They might be television interview quotes, but only some of them were fact-checked. All right, round one. Okay, either four people were put to death for trying to steal the election away from Lincoln, or Donald Trump once claimed he would beat a Abraham Lincoln, George Washington presidential ticket by 40%.
Oh, when it comes to ridiculousness, it's hard to pass up the Donald. So I'm going to say the Trump article is the fact-checked article.
Oh, sorry. No. The fact-checked was the what about Abraham Lincoln? Four people were not, in fact, hung for trying to steal the election from him. They were hung for trying to assassinate him or, being part of the assassination squad. On Lincoln.
I bet they were hung.
They were, after John Wilkes Booth killed him. The other thing was just a thing that Trump said back in 2022 that the Republicans against Trump shared on their Twitter.
You can't make this shit up.
Right? It's, anyway. Okay. Round two. 0-1. Not looking good.
Damn. I know.
Poncho, I'm sorry, buddy. It's dry food tonight.
I'm sorry, man. I'm trying.
Either. Of every 100 couples having sex, one person will die, or birth control causes infertility. Which was fact-checked?
Okay. I'm going to go with the birth control was fact-checked.
That is correct. There has been a huge uptick in social media influencers talking shit about fucking birth control. It's really alarming. No, hormonal birth control doesn't affect your ability to have a baby in the future, just while you're taking it. This pill's been around for a gazillion years now. Like, plenty of women use the pill to family plan.
It sounds like it's just the social media leading edge of that right-wing effort to go after birth control.
Yes. Oh, no, I totally agree. And being on this side of the social media equation, like, I'm in communications with companies that are reaching out and trying to peddle their shit. Like, they want every audience they can get. And if I had the money, that's another, that'd be a fun documentary to do. Just like Palm Wonderful presents the greatest movie ever sold. You offer social media influencers anything and they'll peddle your stuff.
Yeah. By and large,
it's not hard. It's not difficult. So I would love to get some really ridiculous stuff together. It would make for a funny prank show. Oh, that's, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Verbal copyright, Dan on halfcocktails.com. Funny prank show, getting social media influencers to peddle made up products for fun. Timestamp.
Boom. Timestamp.
So, but it wasn't fact checked, but there was an article on Science Alert. Apparently, 0.6% of cases of sudden death are during or shortly after sex. So of every 100 couples, one person's going to die during or just after.
I actually have known two people, different jobs I had where I was managing volunteers, two different ladies, two different eras, different jobs, had told me that their spouses had passed away during a lovemaking session, like heart attack, like, help, I'm pinned under him. Call 911.
That's how I know it's going to be terrible for my wife, but that's how I want to go. I mean, you can't give a guy a better gift, right? Like, you're going to have a heart attack and die.
Can't tell if you're coming or going.
I'm coming and going. Hey. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no better way to go, right? I mean, what's the alternative? You have a fucking heart attack while you're shitting like Elvis? God, that's... it's just awful. Okay. All right. So you are one for two. Poncho.
Okay. The wet food dreams alive.
Poncho, this last question. This is going to do it for you, buddy. It's up to this.
All right, Poncho.
He opened one of his eyes. So I know that means he's very focused. Okay. Either eating the same food all the time is a sign of dementia, or a half-eaten corpse was found at the Detroit Lions football stadium.
Wow. I'm going to go with the half-eaten corpse.
That is correct. That is correct. Poncho, you get wet food tonight, buddy.
Oh, Poncho. Hells yes.
Oh, yeah. Well done. 2 for 3. Yeah, that's right. Somebody on Shitter posted a photo of Ford Field and said that it was closed because they found a partially eaten corpse in the facility that someone put in the water filtration system. And they continued with, this is the second weekend in a row a body had been found on the premises and has forced the Detroit Police Department to launch an investigation into the mysterious incident.
I wonder if this is related to a story I saw online yesterday about a homeless person was taken into custody when he was walking down the street carrying a human leg and gnawing on it, and it was a victim of a train collision with a homeless person, and this obviously this person with mental illness picked up a leg and took some for later.
So that was wow. Okay, well, either like Detroit is the beginning of a zombie outbreak. You heard it first. Halfcocktails.com.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. If it wasn't likely to happen, would there be as many movies about
it? That's a really good point.
I mean, really.
What's the name for that effect? Like after news and people did reports of like the gray alien shape, all of a sudden like people started reporting them everywhere. That copycat stuff. Like I think it's one of those. I don't remember the name of that effect.
Gets out there in the popular consciousness and everyone's imagining the same mass delusion.
No, it's a real thing. It's a real documented thing. I just can't remember the name. A catch-all name for it. Anyway, all right, well done, sir. Well done.
And Poncho gets the wet food. Hell yeah.
Poncho gets the wet food. Of course, yes, if people are obsessively only eating one food or doing one repetitive behavior, that is, in fact, a sign of dementia.
Yeah, it could be a problem. Might just be you really fucking like bacon, and you just eat bacon every meal.
I was thinking to myself, like, if pizza was on that list, people could think I have dementia right now.
Like, I could eat pizza every meal. Dessert pizza? Yes, please.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something good.
Yes, let's.
Maybe even a hit. And join us for half.
Okay. So it looks like there's a town in France called Saint-Joachim. And if you're familiar with France, it's located near the Brer Marsh, a peat bog that becomes easily inundated with water. That place. The local graveyard there sits at 0 feet sea level, right? So it's perfectly sea level. Standing water in that cemetery is an issue. They tried different things. The mayor proposed covering the graveyard to divert the rainwater and catch it in tanks, and then they can water around the cemetery and a nearby sporting complex. However, what the town decided to do was cover it in solar panels. Hmm. They sent letters to all of the citizens of the town. 97% got behind the concept. And then they developed a power sharing scheme that determined each resident pays €5 for their share of the power generated. And then they use some sort of algorithm that gathers data on energy usage to determine how much each home gets of the power from the setup. It's a 1.2-acre installation, cost $3.5 million. They paid for it with property taxes, and boom, cemetery now a productive green energy place in Saint-Joachim. And they've actually got some pictures here. If you follow the link in the episode description, it looks really nice. They're actually transparent panels.
Wow.
So yeah, right? I didn't even know these were a thing until I saw this photo. So you can see the graves are all there. People are there visiting and leaving their flowers. It's just there's these nice rows of solar panels that are providing shade.
Powered by the dead. How can we profit more from the death of these folks? Yes.
Gotta get that dead dollar. That's a strong dollar, Ron. Everybody dies. Everybody's gonna do it. I say that jokingly, but the funeral industry, the cremation industry, the casket industry, the urn industry, like it plaques, like death actually is a big industry. I've met.
Absolutely.
I met some people that are very wealthy because they run a traditional Hasidic cemetery. So if you want to get buried in strict Judaistic custom where they're set up, there's very few options.
Right, I bet.
So they've done very well just by being like, there's no competition.
Only show in town, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are others around, but you know, you don't want to drive forever to go see your loved ones. So you're going to get the one close by. Anyway. How did I turn a feel good into capitalism? Damn you, capitalism!
You fuck everything up.
Here on my show? Again? Oh. Anyway. On that note, capitalism brings everything to an end.
Yeah.
Before we do our closing stuff, I would like to thank Virchicon. Whether it's a mini me or a fat bastard, they got you covered. And sadly, Ron, it looks like we just don't have enough time left for the one phrase to use at a traffic stop that drives police crazy, but they can't stop you. If we did have time, I would imagine it's fuck you, pig. But I'm not even going to open the story. Could be anything.
Yeah, you know, 60% of the time, it works every time.
They can't stop you. I need to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and The Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Any final words or thoughts or goodbyes before we go?
Oh, just be well out there.
Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us, you know what to do. Tell somebody that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com, where we're on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all the wonderful places. If you're in a giving mood, you can support the show over at halfcocktails.com/shop, or you can even find us on Patreon. Just send us money. I'll take the cup of coffee.
Just saying.
I have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by. And like Ron said, go out. Be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. We're just leaving you half-cocked. 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 Had a good time talking today, but even best times eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, we're just leaving half-cocked.